Hello, everypony. This is episode 2 of Talking Foodons. Right before we started recording, I managed to knock my water over, and it was a whole production.
And now a significant portion of the couch is sopping wet with ice cold water. So, that's a thing.
Yeah. Anyway, hi, it's me, Lumpia, with an extra A with a diuresis, aka Nausicaa, your savory host.
It's, me, Ripley, aka Mika, aka... Fuck, it's me, Chocolate Rip Cookie, aka Mika, aka Ripley, your sweet host.
And this is Talking Foodons, a Fighting Foodons fan podcast.
You can't see it, but she's doing little air quotes with that.
I was hoping that would be implied by, like, the pauses in my speech. Oh, look at that. First off, we are now in the same room. We are on the same couch, sitting next to each other, watching Fighting Foodons like Tom Servo and Crow T Robot. Also, I have Audacity open in front of me, and I could just see that very tiny spike as I took a nice crisp sip of my water.
I think this is less like Mystery Science Theater 3000, and more like one of your comedy gaming webcomics.
Oh no!
2000s.
We are not fucking Penny Arcade. We are not. You're being homophobic to me. Which one of us is Gabe and which one of us is Tycho?
I don't know which is which. I think I'm the blonde and you're the brunette.
There's no blondes in Penny Arcade.
I don't know which is which. Okay, one of them has slightly darker hair than the other, and you're that one.
Okay, so that would make me Gabe, the doofy childlike artist, and you're Tycho, the insufferable brunette know-it-all? And writer?
I guess so.
Yeah. The Penny Arcade boys are deeply entrenched in being a very old comic and also being straight white men, and they've made some shitty rape jokes, and I believe Gabe made some fucking bad transphobic comments. So, yeah, fuck those guys.
Fuck those guys.
Please don't fuck those guys.
Please don't fuck those guys.
And if you're if you're one of their wives and you're somehow listening to this, I think it's time for a divorce. I think that will cause divorces on purpose.
This week on Talking Foodons, marriage counseling.
God. Yeah. So, you know, we do never see Chase and Kayla's mother in this show. So, like, I choose to believe that she just, like, divorced Chef Jack at an early age and, early into their, like, pretty soon after Kayla was born and, like, she's off living her best life. And yeah, honestly, she deserves that. She deserves not to have to deal with the man who likes making his children fight in the war.
God. So let's get started on today's episode.
Already?
High Tin Power.
We haven't talked about bullshit for 10 minutes yet.
I know.
It feels unnatural.
I am very impatient.
That's fair. Well, maybe we'll do weird cold opens later.
Later.
I will also give out one note. Having finished Fighting Foodons, Weed and Bad Anime Night has now moved on to He-Man. And with, you know, fabulous secret powers, all that goodness. Ripley, if I try to make a He-Man podcast, I need you to take me out.
I will.
Okay, let's get into the episode already. As usual, we were watching on Tubi TV, and I'm realizing we really need to put the episode links in the show notes. This is fun.
It starts off with an animation of an army of gluttons rushing at you linebacker style with, like, their pots and giant ladles, chanting fighting...
Well, glutton power.
Chanting glutton power.
The closed captions mean nothing. Oh no, the glutton says this handsome ponytailed mild sideburns man.
I think I remember when we were actually watching this during Weed and Bad Anime Night, I distinctly recall saying, I feel like I'm watching a gritty war documentary.
Yeah, right now it looks like the fucking Ishvalan invasion.
It does.
Narrator, oh yes, the gluttons, and plenty of them. And then we see them just making a bunch of foudons. People are running in terror, the extra ingredient is evil. And now they've just, like, conjured these monsters. One of them looks vaguely like a pig, but others don't even look like food. There's a fucking... It's like there's the fucking Amon Khet Eternals.
There's an Aerodactyl among this crowd of foudons.
With a spear.
With a spear.
Magic the Gathering looks great. Hi, welcome to Talking Magic, a Magic the Gathering podcast. I haven't played Magic in years. Oh, wait, hold on. Who the fuck is this? And what?
This is a humanoid alligator with feathered wings and a tray for a waist.
And, like, fucking ripped sleeves, kung fu outfit. God, I want to know this guy's story. He looks more interesting than anything we've seen in this show. Who will put an end to this culinary criminal's reign of terror? Okay. Yeah, no, okay, no. He does war crimes. He's a criminal.
He is a criminal.
Who will bring down the Kingdom of Gorge? And then we see him, like, silhouetted against the sky, evil, cackling over, like, this shot of a cityscape with a statue under construction. And
he's T-posing to assert dominance.
Fuck off. Is King Gorge a gamer?
No. I don't think he's a gamer. I think he's, like, one of those guys who's, like, you know, I don't play video games, like, at all. I'm above that, or whatever.
King Gorge wrote Harry Potter and the Methods of Rationality.
Harry Potter and the Methods of Rationality. Explain that to the audience.
No. It's a fic by noted less wrong shithead, Eliezer Yudkovsky, who's... I was reading a spork of it this morning, and it's very... The conceit is Harry uses science to analyze magic. That's not actually what happens. Harry just tries to become a god, and there's a bunch of fucking... He barely has any agency. He just spouts nonsense about how logic and bad science... It's not good. There's no good science in this, and Harry wants power, not knowledge.
Knowledge is power.
Well, but he wants... Listen, a scientist wants knowledge for its own sake. Or, at the very least, to help people. And Harry Potter, in this fic, does get, like... There is a line about, I felt guilty when people called out to God and nobody answered because I couldn't be God. And then the narrator's like, clearly, his internal narration then, clearly the solution was to become God. And, like, Jesus Christ, Eliezer Yudkovsky, you sound like... Okay, I'm not gonna name names on this podcast, but I've seen this behavior in someone, and it's not healthy.
It is not healthy. Also, I think I compared it to Homestuck earlier, which I am wrong about.
You're very wrong, but it was a very good joke.
Yeah. Okay, so King Gorge.
Yeah. I do want to figure out what this show would be like if it was. If King Gorge was like a shitty r/atheists bro.
You know, there's... I would kill to see an abridged dub of this.
Maybe we should do that instead of this podcast.
I mean, we're already on the second episode of this podcast. We've already put over an hour and a half into sporking this shit. I don't think we can turn back now.
Yeah, I've also, like... edited a full ass episode by now. The I had a bad night last night. Hi, welcome to our new podcast talking about Nausicaa's depression.
last night I had insomnia, so I stayed up very, very late, read the final few chapters of a book, and immediately crashed. Which is more than...
Ah, God fucking damn it! I spilled my goddamn water again! Okay, see, now that goof, can you please repeat that for the podcast?
A user named Beavis Sinatra has been terrorizing me since 2008. It's sending me pictures of cups that are too close to the edges of tables.
Yeah, so I am a creature of hubris.
Yeah, my sense of humor, at least around Harriet, is nigh esoteric. My sense of humor, at least around Harriet, is nigh esoteric to literally anyone who isn't her.
To be fair, I do not know the reference you are making right now. I just think it's funny because you're my friend.
Hee hee.
Friends is when you have a bud.
Friends is when you have a bud. Okay.
Yep. So we're still in the opening credits. This is because I knocked my fucking water off the arm of the couch again. Like, it's a flat surface. I am going to post an image of the couch in the show notes just so people can see that I'm not, like, completely insane for trying to put water there.
So... Today's special, Pie Tin Power.
Yeah, we're gonna meet a fucking shitty kid.
We're gonna meet just a complete piece of shit. I love him. Here he is, right now.
Crawling out of a pile of rubble. I wish he had stayed under there. I would like you to go back under there, little boy. Low, ominous music. What the fuck is this?
That's a katsudon, I think. Katsudon, yeah, that's a pork cutlet, comma, fried, with Kamina glasses and a mohawk, and I love him.
Yeah, that's what I thought you'd say, you don't fucking boar furry.
No, it's not that, and more that...
Manga? What the fuck? Okay, once again, we're gonna do that thing where, we pause the recording and turn off the, and unmute so I can hear what the fuck this says. So, okay, it turns out I think he was just saying mama, but calling for manga is so much better.
Yes.
This child was raised by comic books. That explains so much about him.
No. Yes, he was raised by comic books.
Okay. So we see, like, a bandage-wrapped hand cover his mouth and yank him off screen, which is really a great way. And then we see his parents.
Who are standing in line for something.
Their hands are bound. They are prisoners.
They are prisoners.
A futon with, like, spaghetti for a head is watching them grumpily. Also, this shitty little boy and his parrot. Shitty little boy has, like, this hat that has, like, panda ears and panda eye spots, or maybe they're weird sunglasses, although I don't think he ever pulls them down. Anyway, his parents have them too, which makes me think it's genetic.
In my gritty fighting futons reboot, I am sorely tempted to make him a panda furry.
I keep parsing the katsudon futon as, like, looking like Eggman. Because, like, I read the... Like, he has a mohawk and the glasses... It always combines in my brain to form, like, an Eggman mustache.
Because he's also got, like, these bean sprouts on, like, the plate surrounding his katsudon head.
Yes, that also looks like a mustache. Yes. And he has a red and yellow jumpsuit. Anyway, human prisoners of war being herded into cages, presumably for use as slave labor. Also, what the fuck's up with this guy's arms?
I don't know. I think they're, like, cannons. So pan up, we see that the shitty little boy has been captured by Chef Jack.
Oh, so now he wants kids around.
Byton rightfully takes him to task. He's like, if you don't keep out of sight, the gluttons will capture you too. Yeah, no shit. Yo, okay, listen. Maybe, just maybe, you shouldn't separate children from their families to actually... No, wait, no. Ooh, ooh. This is a lot more fucked up in the era of children in cages in America.
Yeah.
Like, at least this time it's the adults in the cages, but... Like... It's... Like, on the one hand, tearing children away from their parents is bad. On the other hand, humans are being put in cages, which you shouldn't fucking do.
This week on Talking Foodons.
This week on Talking Foodons. Hey, I'm going to take you aside for a quick polemic. I know. I am very much an anarchist. I do not like the concept of the state. I think it's bad and a bad idea. I will say, if you are American, as I think most listeners of this show will be, please, for the love of God, vote for Biden or whatever Democratic nominee they spit out in the general election, because at least they'll try to get kids out of cages.
And not voting will do literally nothing.
Yeah. Like, keep fighting. Definitely keep fighting. Definitely keep pushing for change, but...
Abstaining from voting literally does nothing.
Get kids out of cages.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to our fun Foodons episode. You keep pausing it. I want to talk about something.
Yes?
Namely, Chef Jack tells this little boy, your parents were obviously rebel chefs, and that's why the gluttons captured them. Obviously? How do you know? The gluttons seem to be rounding up everybody in town.
Well, probably because they have outfits that are, like, remarkable in some way.
Okay. No, no. Pause the show again. Let's get into this. Is this a statement? Is this a society where being a rebel chef causes a weird outfit, or the reverse?
I'm gonna say the former. Just because I think that's fun. It's like a more interesting mental image to me of like, you become a rebel chef and all your clothes slowly start like morphing into pandas or whatever.
And that does explain why most of the people in this show just wear like traditional Asian clothing. But Chef Jack, I don't even know what the fuck his outfit is.
Overgrown shonen protagonist?
Yeah, this man is bloated. Somebody slipped this man a muscle fetish pill. Also, Pytin, who, well, it's never actually stated, is 5 fucking years old, says...
He's
crying and says, well, I have to find a way to rescue them, don't I, huh?
He's 10. Like, I think he's 10.
I swear to God he was 5.
I think he's 10, though. Like, he's very, very short, but he's 10 years old.
Okay, well, now I'm going to look it up. Once again, the thrilling audio of me looking up Fighting Foodons on Wikipedia.
He is a 5-year-old boy! What the fuck?
Also says he's from Hora. I'm gonna look up where that is. Okay, that's the Greek hours.
A mythical...
He's from fucking... Oh. Okay, I think it means he's from the city of... I think he's from Penglai City. A city in eastern Shandong, which makes sense given his... sorry, I just got reminded that Wade Giles exists.
Yeah.
Which makes sense given his general, like... Well, panda theme, and also the long sleeves are kind of like stereotypical Chinese character. I don't know. Anyway, this 5-year-old boy thinks that he has to rescue his parents. And then Chef Jack kneels down to him, puts him in a hug, and says, when the time is right, your parents will be free. What the fuck are you preaching? Like, just yesterday you were telling your son to be a child soldier. Why do you care about Python? Is the cutoff age 11? Is that when it's okay to be a child soldier?
I don't know. This is just raising so many questions. You have so many questions, and I have so many questions.
Okay. But other than this, I'm not going to wait until the time is right. I'm going to save them now. And, like... yeah, I get... Like, that's a fair point, but also just... Jesus. What are you doing?
Pointing. I don't know. Anyway.
Recording in the same room means that now we're just fighting each other.
Yeah.
Anyway. Scene transition. Kayla and Chase are setting up shop, and oh, it's the magical girl transformation for their fucking food cart. I also want to scroll back a bit. There's something in the animation that is very upsetting to me.
Is it the terrible perspective on the fucking town?
No. It's this face, which he makes and holds while pans fly behind him.
It's so threatening.
There's nothing behind his eyes. He really takes after his father. Number 17, extra spicy, one bowl of chili red hot. This it's is clearly curry. It's not fucking chili, you piece of shit, four kids. Hold on, let me see if I can do the Kermit voice. It's not fucking chili, you piece of shit, four kids. Anyway. Yeah, he's using chopsticks. That's not fucking chili. She serves it to, like, some salaryman ass.
The, like, very long pause when he took a big ol' sip of water.
Looking at Audacity is a trap. If you meet Audacity on the road, kill him.
Where is it? Alright, so...
We were discussing curry.
Curry / chili.
She serves it to the salaryman, who doesn't seem to be at all perturbed that a kid is selling this. Oh, God. God, do you want to cover this, Ripley?
So she hands the salaryman his bowl of curry / chili. Chillery.
Oh, I don't like thinking about that.
Chillery. He takes a bite. He says, oh, that's pretty good. And then it changes to, like, this picture of him making kind of a little too relaxed face, with, like, a shining orange background, and he says, yeah, that's really good. And
it's like he just entered a hot bath.
It's like he just entered a hot bath or something a little less savory.
Listen, we've seen Chef Jack's ahigao. I don't think that it's different.
It's pretty different in my opinion. It's not.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's what I meant. I meant it was different. Fuck. Listen, I'm very hot.
It is also very stuffy up here. We moved up to the study.
Oh, right, he's being watched by a mysterious wizard man. And Chase is plotting about making a special omelet that he then flips onto his face.
Yep.
The meatballs.
Don't worry, Chase. We still think you're a great chef. You haven't really burnt anything since you burnt us, that is.
Yeah. Chase, we're your tortured creations. We're glad that you didn't make another thing to add to our panoply of misery.
We would have preferred you learned how to be a better cook before you decided to make us, but it's all right.
Me at my parents.
Jesus fucking Christ!
I sure wish my parents had learned how to be better parents before they decided to cook me.
We don't mean anything. We love you. This is...
These are abused!
It's so fucked up. So deeply fucked up.
Imagine if you were an 11-year-old child and you made something that was constantly in pain. Anyway, now Python's going glutton hunting. And walking through a vegetable market. Python just asks this shopkeeper of, can you point me to the general direction of the glutton palace? I need to rescue my parents. And
the shopkeeper, for his credit, does react with fear. And, like, I know Python is 5, but Jesus Christ, my boy.
Did you say gluttons?
You got it. God.
Python's resting face is just, like, is just an oh whoa face.
Oh, you're not wrong, and I hate that.
I kind of love it, though.
He's, like, just a bit away from becoming Knife Cat at all times.
Yes. It's indistinct, kid.
Okay, once again, I'm gonna pause the recording and see what the fuck this actually is. He said something about, like, ixnay on the something, eh, kid? It's Pig Latin, and therefore not real.
It's Pig Latin, and therefore I have auditory processing disorder.
Anyway. But I gotta find some gluttons. The gluttons are horrible people. Yeah. You're strung along half pint. It's pie tin.
That's not even a good pun! That's not even a good
Maybe
pun!
Maybe it was better in Japanese. I'm Maybe gonna give them a little Japanese. Bit of the benefit of the doubt. But also, like, yeah, this is a 5-year-old kid who is just desperate for revenge.
He's 5 years old and he already craves violence.
And he's on his own. There's so much child abandonment in this show. And it leaves him around to
ask if random passersby are gluttons.
And also for Claudia, our dear evil cat girl, to spy upon him and formulate her evil plots.
And
now he's just standing near a wharf.
He's just roaming around town unsupervised, having pots and pans thrown at him as he harangues random adults as to whether or not they are gluttons.
And now he's down by the river, looking melancholy into the water. And then the bushes rustle, and out comes Claudia playing a beautiful wounded bird, and I just went to pick her up.
You want to pick her up and hold her very gently.
Yes. And then she says, "Could you help me? I'm looking for the famous chef, Pie Tin." Like, I mean, okay, I think this lie would work on a 5-year-old, so I have to give her some credit, but...
Mm-hmm. He said, "Are you looking for a famous master chef named Pie Tin?" And she said, "I didn't say master chef, but yeah," which... And he is wearing a name tag that says Python.
I mean, it's in case he gets lost.
I suppose.
Claudia is just so done with the fact that this kid does not think she's looking for somebody else named Python. She's like, "Take the fucking bait, you piece of shit child." She also says, "The gluttons worked me over. I need a big, strong chef to get back at them. And because I am a garbage person, my brain reads that as, I need a big, strong chef to get back at them."
God.
Not that she would say that to Python, but that she would say that to me. I am tall and strong and cook good.
Please stop being horny for Claudia.
No. Arrest me. We're only 5 minutes into the episode.
God.
Anyway, Claudia's evil plan is to pretend that Chase and Kayla are gluttons, and she tries to sick Python on them, which is a fairly good plan, actually. She also makes the simp emoji face.
It's not the simp emoji face! It's not the simp emoji face! It's the pleading emoji face, you dumbass!
Okay, I desperately wanted to see the emoji movie now where simp emoji is a character.
Oh god, it's bad. Oh, it's bad.
You don't get to play more of this. You have to sit here and world build the emoji movie with me.
No, I don't. I don't have to do this. You can't make me.
Wanna bet?
Please don't make this sexually tense.
I'm sorry, I only have one kind of threatening voice.
Okay.
Anyway, Claudia looks very cute when she's pleading.
Why are you so horny?
Why am I so horny?
Yeah.
Like, have you looked at me? Have you looked at me, Ripley?
I'm looking at you.
Do you not see that this flesh craves for touch? Yes, okay, your point is taken. For the listeners at home, they just put their hand upon my head.
Very, like, firmly grasped it.
Yes. Listen, being horny for Claudia is the only thing getting me through this sober. It's a medical condition. Also, now Python is surrounded by the same shitty CGI fire that we see with Fried Ricer and Beefsteak's death. Because he's declaring that gluttons will run when he puts the heat on or whatever.
Because he's so cool.
And five. He is just fucking 5 years old.
He's like Gregory from Over the Garden Wall in that his entire personality is, I am 5 years old.
Gregory?
Gregory.
I've never heard somebody say it without the abbreviation.
Gregathan. Gregtholomew.
Also, see, the thing is, I don't think Python's personality is that he is 5 years old. He is just a shitty little man.
He's just a shitty little 5 year old man.
Adult child baby. Chuckles, Claudia, you are a genius. Ah!
And immediately trips on a rock and falls into a pile of limbs and head.
Oh, I don't like that description. I don't care for that much one bit.
You saw the cell of her falling.
Okay, roll it back.
Yeah.
God, yeah, you are right. She is just a fucking...
This is body horror.
It's like Buer. Oh, God. I activated Ripley's love of Buer.
Buer is my favorite goetic demon, alright? I love that funky lion man. I love him in his limbs.
After this, you have to draw Claudia as Buer.
No, I don't.
How much do I have to pay you?
$20.
Okay, cool. I accidentally did a hard stop on that recording, but we're back now.
We're back now.
And, yeah, just want to pick Claudia up and care for her.
You just want to delicately pick her up and try not to have her limbs fall asunder from the rest of her bod.
God damn it. It one more bit with Ehlers-Danlos? two out of my three romantic partners have Ehlers-Danlos. I'm covered in rubbery bitches.
So, Python orders some red beans and rice, which is probably just curry.
It could be red beans and rice.
Could be red beans and rice. But it's probably curry. Well, what if it's like... What if there's a fucking bit where they try to make him some red beans and rice? They, like, have, like, a huge menu of, like, this huge variety of food, but it's all just curry.
God.
I think there was a bit in Gintama like that, actually.
See, that's something that would happen in a better show.
In a better show.
He furiously eats this red beans and rice while chanting Play It Cool.
And he's...
Claudia just runs by in the background under a bush!
And encourages Python, stop eating and start battling, kid! Which, like...
Okay. Now, here's the thing. So we know from last episode that people have to focus their will through food-ons for a fight. I think Claudia just did that to Python.
She's... where is the line between human and food-on?
We'll have to wait till episode 11.
Oh, God. And So, cut to just a huge pile of empty dishes that Paiten has cleaned out. This 5-year-old is very hungry.
He's a growing boy.
He's a growing boy.
He's awkward about whether or not they're gluttons.
Trying to play it cool, but he's fucking 5. Hey, I don't have any money, so I'm gonna have to do dishes to pay my bill. This is... I think he saw, like, a movie once, and so he's just assuming that that's how the real world works. A lot of Paiten's characterization makes more sense when you realize he is 5 years old.
And stuff, but some of it makes much less sense.
Yeah.
Like, I am a preschool teacher. Okay, now I have to think about, does Paiten match up to any of the kids at work? Oh, God. Okay. Paiten is either... Oh, cool, there's black mold on the ceiling.
Ugh.
I'll have to deal with that. Anyway. Paiten is either the... One of the older kids who's very tall for a 5 or 6 year old, and very verbal, and says, I think that's so crazy a lot. Or he's the fucking little white kid who loves fights.
The little white kid who loves fights.
Anyway, Chase lets him open a tab.
Chase lets a 5-year-old open a tab.
Paiten is doing, like, noir narration, or what he thinks is noir narration.
No, I think it's more like shonen narration, honestly.
Yeah, it does letterbox.
Yeah.
Well, Chase, if this kid wants to do the dishes, I think we should let him. That's fair. That's fair, but you're also becoming a manager. You like doing the dishes. Oh, yeah, I just love doing...
Her being sarcastic.
Yeah. Fun fact about my partner, Jay, who is getting top surgery today. Woo! Good for them. By the time this episode goes out, actually, by the time both this and the last episode are out, they will be tit-free. Anyway. Oh, God, what was I even saying? Yeah, if you put dirty dishes in front of my partner Jay, they will wash them. And recently I discovered that, like, if you put more dishes in front of them, they'll add them to the pile, and it's an incredible brain trap to watch in action.
It's just, some of us just have automatic things.
Yeah. Anyway.
He just wanders off. I know you are gluttons, now tell me where my parents are.
He doesn't wander off, he just backs up like ready for a fight.
Well, he looks like he was wandering off. I think...
That's just because he's 5. That's 5-year-olds just wander. He's 5. Okay, I guess I have to make you tell me where my parents are. Just Kayla, just like, why do you think we're gluttons?
Now serving Sir Dumpling! And we get this, like, tunnel of, like, Kubrick light.
Kubrick?
Like you know that one scene in, like, 2001 A Space Odyssey where he, like, goes through that, like, tunnel?
I've never seen 2001 A Space Odyssey. I'm a terrible person. It looks like that,
except green. And out emerges Sir Dumpling, who is a man with a, what was the type of dumpling
again? I think it's a shumai.
With a shumai for a head. But I've got a futon that easily beats your dumpling, says Chase. The meatballs think they... The meatballs think he's going to send them out, but it turns out he's using Omelette.
With little Pikachu.
With his little Pikachu. Wait, if Omelette is the Pikachu of this show, then it makes a lot less sense why he's used, like, less often.
And then Kayla cock-blocks the fight because she just wants to protect her dear little Omelette.
She just wants to protect her dear little Omelette. What is Omelette made out of?
Eggs.
Eggs. This more omelet is much too important for such a senseless battle. You were the one who wanted the kid's money. I'll let him do the dishes. This is just... God.
The meatballs desperately want to be useful, just like a trans girl of the over-apologetic type.
And out comes Fried Ricer.
With his rock music.
With his rock music and his just wonky-ass Ligma Boy animation.
Oh, God, I don't want to see food on CDI.
I do. Like, I unironically want to see the hell train that is food on CGI.
Not CGI, CDI.
CDI, fuck. Well, either the hell train pretty bad.
Yeah, both are bad. I do also want to say, Oslo says, let's see if Franz Reiser will give Sir Dumbling the royal treatment. And I'm just like, why? Why is this relevant? Sir Dump!
Franz Reiser. And I think they do this, like, aurora thing where they, like, have a flurry of punches and blows that they're all blocked. And I don't like comparing this to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I really don't. But at the same time, like, I think if I were to put out my Gritty Fighting Futons reboot, I would give Fried Ricer the physique of one of the earlier season JoJo's.
Oh, right. And now we're ready to introduce a new mechanic to this show.
Oh, no.
Which we'll talk about at length.
Oh, no. Power toppings. Power toppings!
Specific. As Python explains, Fried Ricer is strong, but I hope you've got some power toppings for him so we can keep it up. First of all, Viagra joke, next question. Second of all, they enhance their Foodons by power topping them. You heard it here first, folks. Foodons are bottoms. Chase has never heard of a power topping before, and really, who can blame him? His dad shouldn't be explaining that to him for another few years yet.
So, Sir Dumpling gets power topped with what I assume is, pickled ginger, but I'm not sure. It was like a amorphous pile of pink stuff.
And Python says, there's nothing like a power topping. It heats things up a notch.
It heats things that nothing like a little power topping. I just...
Oh, God, fuck. Is Sir Dumpling getting figged?
What's figged?
Figging is when you put peeled raw ginger in someone's ass.
That's a thing?
Yes.
That's a fucking thing?
Yes.
What is that a thing?
The burn feels nice to some people? Listen, it's not for me, but... Hold on a sec. I need to pause the recording real quick. Anyway, one of my partners is into figging. It's fine.
This is fine.
Listen, don't you just want to see that little twink squirming from the horrible burn?
No, I'm a lesbian.
This was directed towards the listeners.
Oh.
Anyway, then he says jolly good and fucking flies at Fried Ricer.
I'm sure we could put a few innuendos here, because there was an ad. We got an ad.
What even is this for?
I have no idea.
I don't like this. This is some kind of app for, like, managing allowance and chores, and it feels very surveillance parenty.
Yep.
Anyway, the dad in here is ridiculously dilfy.
Shut up!
I refuse to shut up about dilfs.
Oh, he kind of looks like Dale Vandermeer, though.
Oh, now you're into it. Now you're into it because he makes you think about Rusty Lake. I see how this goes.
I'm autistic, okay? And I don't like men. I see a man and I figure out a way to connect to him and I say, oh, okay.
A special interest. God, I would love to see the futons of, like, the dishes from Rusty Lake Hotel.
they're just the respective like animals that you used for the dishes, except now they're way more fucked up.
Well, yeah. I mean, are they animals though?
Like animal people, the line is very, very blurry.
See, okay, I parsed it very much as like you are just straight up killing humans for these dishes.
Well, I mean, to my mind, they're like animals the same way Mr.'s owl and crow are animals, you know?
Okay.
It's unclear.
They've been furrified.
They've been furrified.
Anyway. God! Fuck! Sir Dumpling, we see him flying towards Fried Ricer, and then he just punches them. There's no, like, dramatic slam and fly back.
It's
just the fucking slap fights. You didn't even use your momentum well. Hey, also. Chase goes to ask, Fried Ricer, are you okay? Which means that Fried Ricer is a being that can get hurt. Like, he's a real fucking man. He only exists inside the meal ticket, but
he's a real person and he can get hurt.
There's only one of him.
There's only one of him.
He's a unique being.
Well, I'm sure there are multiple Fried Ricers, but this one is special. Same with Pokemon, like, there are many Pikachus in the world, but this one is mine.
Oh, wait, hold on. I want you to see something.
Yeah? Whatever that power topping was, it sure made Sir Dumpling into a powerhouse. Must have been bacon. Don't top a Shumai with bacon, please. And it's not, it was pink. It was not bacon. It was not bacon.
Yeah, this is a localization thing.
This is a localization thing.
And now he jumps into the sun and plummets towards Fried Ricer.
Claudia emerges from the bush, and decides she has to intervene and deliver the final blow because she no longer has any use for you in that dumpling. Now serving Squirtle, I mean Boulder Broth.
It's not fucking Squirtle, you piece of shit Pokemon.
legit, there are some Foodon designs in the show that are just Pokemon.
That's not, that's Blastoise.
Blastoise. Well, with a little bit of some Digimon insert.
Whatever that volcano, Torkoal. Okay. Claudia loudly proclaims, I'm a glutton, I'm evil, I betrayed you. And Fight is like, are you saying that you tricked me, cat girl? And I could make a very bad joke here.
What bad joke?
Well, so there's two things that trans women are known for. One in their community, one outside it.
Uh-huh.
Inside our community, we're known for our high number of cat girls. Outside our community, there exists a lot of rhetoric about how we deceive men and women.
Oh boy. I see where you're going with this. Don't.
Okay. I will put a content warning.
Yeah. It pans across her eyes in a shot that's better animated than it should be.
She's like, I thought we taught you a lesson last time we fought you. And Claudia's like, I guess I didn't learn my lesson, jumping up and down and making hand motions, and I'm just like, you're a brat.
You are really, just really horny for Claudia, okay?
What of it?
And I just now realized that Foodon's name is Boulder Broth, Stone Soup.
Fuck, there is a Stone Soup Foodon.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder what he was originally.
No idea.
Oh, also, Python leaps into battle alongside Sir Dumpling and stands in front of him, protecting him, like. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Why was this necessary?
Foodons can canonically die. Foodons can canonically get hurt. They are not the same as... This is not the same as Pokemon battles. There are stakes of, like, mortality.
Right.
Fucking Boulder Broth fires you, not Water Gun, which is actually made of fire.
You also missed the fact that Boulder Broth slammed Sir Dumpling into a tree so hard the tree splintered.
And just cracked in asunder and fell. Titan is being protected from the evil rays of fire
by
Chase with his trusty frying pan used as a drying pan.
You will never stop doing that, will you?
I will never stop.
Anyway. I also love how, like, Sir Dumpling grabbed Paiton to his chest and did not at all attempt to use his body to shield the young man. He's just, like, almost trying to use Paiton as a human shield.
I think it's like Paiton was... I don't know. I can't come up with something clever for this. I think Paiton is just a dumbass.
He's just five. Fucking five. Paiton is surprised that Chase showed him mercy. And then she's like, we rebels just have to stick together. And I'm like... Paiton's like, we're rebel chefs? And Chase's like, anybody who isn't a glutton is on the side of the rebel chefs.
Which...
No neutrality, I guess.
No neutrality. How about some power toppings? Eggs.
Yeah. For once in my life, I'm not going to make a trans joke. Instead, I'm going to make a Spanish joke. Huevos. This boy has produced some testicles. It's not gay if the eggs don't touch.
The eggs, I think, my question is, how did he just have a pair of eggs sitting around? Like, was he carrying eggs in his pocket?
He laid them. Next question.
They begin to send another flurry of punches and blows towards Boulder Broth in the most dollar store JoJo ass shit ever.
That's the episode title, Dollar Store JoJo.
Dollar Store JoJo.
Okay.
Chase slaps the countertop of his Mac cart, and it transforms into a cart. Oh, it grows a pair of faucet titties.
Those are afterburners!
I don't know anything.
Oh, it's fire hydrants.
Oh.
And then it's just like... So, we see the fire sizzling towards Sir Dumpling and Fried Ricer, and then Chase counteracts it with a blast of water, just like Atla.
Just like Atla. This is not how physics works.
That's exactly how physics works, I think.
Like, you can legit see the fire and the water have tension against each other, and the fire can overpower the water stream. That's not how it works! That is not how it works.
Looks like that finicky Claudia can't decide whether or not to power top her Boulder Broth. Yeah, because she's a switch. Oh, it's Claudia saying it's time to top.
She's got this big ass dumpling in one hand. Is that a dumpling? Is that an onion? I don't know what that is.
I think it's a dumpling. Anyway, she says it's time to top like a fucking liar. You've never topped.
You just said she was a switch though.
She'd like to be a switch. Anyway, she accidentally power topped the meatballs.
Kayla,
maybe there is hope for them now.
I swear to God, there are more meatballs now than there were before, which...
One of them used to be the power topping.
No.
Listen, which one of us is an expert in food on physics?
Neither one of us.
That's right. Anyway, Claudia just bypasses the the futon fight and, like, goes to steal the food cart.
And
Kayla...
Kayla demands that the meatballs try and stop Claudia, which they don't.
Yeah, you could just do it yourself, bitch. And then she gets hard eyes, motherfucker, and tries to steal Omelette.
She tries to steal their Pikachu. She tries to steal her Pikachu and use it against its own allies.
The meatballs are in pain.
They bring out some garlic and some snow peas. Two power toppings? Says Claudia, which, like,
you've been DP'd. Don't lie to us.
And Chase goes like, yeah, now that's a great team. And they, hang on. Fried Ricer says, Fried Ricer, which, like, he's autistic. He can only say his own name. Sir Dumpling says, yes, sir.
Oh, I see. Already establishing a dynamic here.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Damn, these bitches, these futons gay. Damn, good for them.
These futons fucked. Claudia just sidles away.
And decides to abandon her Pokemon. And it shoots double streams of fire at them. They do the very wonky, like, Link My Boy style dodging animation. They fly at him and airbend at him.
I think they just kicked him very hard and oh god, they've kicked Boulder Broth and Claudia into the sun!
Team Rocket's blasting off again! And look at each other with like this determined kind of look in their eyes of and they shake hands and
That's when you started to ship them.
But like I remember it's like that scene in Aliens when they shake hands and like do the muscle men thing. It's just like that, except they should kiss.
They should have kissed in Aliens.
They should have. I never saw Aliens. I only saw part of the first Alien movie, which is ironic considering I named myself Ripley.
Listen, I've never seen an Alien movie. I don't think they exist.
I'm
sorry I accused you of being gluttons and got you into this whole mess. Chase, no, we could have used the practice.
Which is just like such a way to insult this 5-year-old. Like,
I mean, it's more of an insult to Claudia.
That is true. Also, there's a shot of Python just staring at them with like no mouth.
Screenshot that, baby.
Which I just, this is just so good to look at.
He doesn't have a mouth.
How can he eat?
How can he talk? How can he scream?
And he regains his mouth. Properly introduces himself by name.
Who the hell names your kid Python?
I think it's. I have a theory. He actually has like a longer name, but he's 5, so he has a little bit of trouble pronouncing it still. So that's just the nickname he goes by.
I see. Anyway, Ozzel asks him where his parents were, despite having no objections to Chef Jack abandoning some kids with him.
Python, very sadly, the gluttons came and took my parents away this morning. A nice man called Chef Jack told me they'd be free when the time was ripe, but I'm not really sure. Chef Jack is our father. I guess it's a good thing I met you guys. This is...
Why? So, you've both been abandoned by Chef Jack. You share that experience in common. That's a basis for friendship, I guess.
I get that's a basis for friendship, I guess, in this time of war, food war, food wars. That's a crossover.
No.
Yes.
What's food wars, actually? I can't remember.
It's... How do I explain this? Basically, it's a parody of every ecchi anime ever, but, like, with food. They eat food so good it orgasm. Makes them orgasm.
I like the idea of food that can orgasm.
No, that's not. I've never seen any of it because I'm kind of scared to. But that's the understanding I have of food wars.
Python joins the party. Chase is very confused about this.
Yes, Python just forcibly joins the party. This is just like in Deltarune when Lancer joined the party.
God.
This is just like that.
God, he really... exactly like that. He really is the Lancer of fighting Foodons in that he's an awful little man, but he's 5, so...
Lancer is 11. Lancer is not 5 years old. Lancer is a little bit older than that.
5 sweeps.
No. No. No.
Are you mad because I'm homesucking on our podcast? Our shared podcast?
I mean, this was inevitable, given that we are the way we are.
Anyway, Python compliments Kayla's face. Like, you're tiny and heterosexual. Fuck off.
Chase says you owe us money for all the food you ate. And Python gives him the most shit-eating grin and says, oh, I think we could call even old chum. Which is like, he's such a piece of shit. I hate him. I love him. When you think about how I taught you about power toppings and all, I'd say we're just about even. Interesting.
Is there something you want to share with the class, MacArthur?
Well, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. You've already made this joke.
Sometimes jokes can be made more than once.
Power toppings. Imagine me saying that, but, like, it's in bold. And, like, very, very large.
Large text.
Large text, but out loud.
I can do spoken blackout poetry.
Spoken blackout poetry. Please demonstrate.
Fuck, I'd have to remember a blackout poem.
You were the, that, like, college rejection letter, but it says, you were the best.
You were the best.
Ah. Somehow I'm a little bit disappointed.
I can't exude ink from my mouth, Ripley.
Not yet, anyway. So, a shot of the night sky, which is blue screen of death, blue. It's so blue.
That's just how it is in Japan.
No, it isn't! No, it isn't. If I went to Japan and the sunset and the night sky was blue screen of death, blue, I think I'd be pretty sure the world was fucking ending.
The world is always ending.
No, this is like what it looks like when you're in the Matrix and it starts glitching out completely.
Oh god, what if Foodons are in the Matrix?
What if Foodons are in the Matrix?
And that's the end of the episode. So yeah, oh god, I still have this open.
I think, we were going to talk about something, like, after the episode, but I don't remember what it was. Well, like after we'd finished, after the credits rolled, I don't remember what we were going to talk about. I think the heat is kind of wiping my memory a little bit.
Yeah, it's extremely bimbifying and thembifying.
Yes.
I'm Nausicaa. I use bim pronouns now.
Hee hee. Bim pronouns. Imagine Imagine that, but like with the big red like bee emoji.
Bee! Bim!
I like how there's so much... Your voice, for whatever reason, is so much, has so much more, like, pitch to it. I don't know what it means, but for whatever reason, I'm looking at the Audacity, like, thing, and, it's registering is much more, contrast-y.
I think that's because I'm closer to the mic.
Well, now I'm closer to the mic. How do you like that? How do you like them apples?
Yeah, see, now your levels are big.
Now my levels are big. Now my levels are big.
Oh, baby, you got such big levels.
This is... do we have, a conclusion? Do we have a...
Oh, yeah. I prepared one. Let me go downstairs and get it.
Okay. Do you want to, mention about where to find you online?
Me, specifically?
Yeah.
I think, let's mention our, social media handles.
I will not, actually. I don't use them enough.
But yeah, you can find me at, Twitter, at Mika Orange Art. That's all one word, no caps. Same thing on Tumblr. I mostly just post art there, because... Like, I'm the person who drew the, cover art. You might want to see more of that. Might not. I don't know. Harriet is a cryptid, but you can find her on Twitter at Shipburner and maybe somewhere else. I don't know.
Let's just go with my very inactive Twitter.
Yeah, at Shipburner.
Yeah, you can find, we're hoping to be, probably by the time this goes up, we should have set up a Twitter for this show, and we'll post that in the show notes, where you can find images, bonus material, and various ship posts. And yeah, if you want to be a guest on this show, send us a line via probably it'll be Twitter. We might also set up an email, and again, we'll put that in the show notes. And yeah, you can find this podcast at anchor.fm/talking-foodons, and also I think it's been synced to Spotify and iTunes and other places. Before we go, let's just look at what the next episode is.
Yeah, next episode, season 3, wow. Mushroom with a View. Will the heroes find a magic mushroom? To do so, they search Fungi Forest, and there is a very obvious joke there. I don't know whether or not...
Psilocybin.
Psilocybin! Exclamation point.
Do shrooms. It's do great. Shrooms.
It's great.
I actually have never done shrooms. Do drugs responsibly.
Partake responsibly.
I think that's it. I think that's an episode. Yeah. It's only 1 hour, which is...
Yeah.
Yeah, because last time we had to get into history and the theme song and
yes.
all that jazz.
Yes. So that's the episode, I think. Have a nice day, everyone. Stay safe and be nice to each other, or else.